Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is the gay stages of life.
Yes.
The gauges of life.
Wow, beautiful.
But that could be like G-U-A-G-E-S.
The gauges.
And like, we don't have gauges in our ears or anything. So we're yet again phonies.
Well, you know what? Most of the things we talk about, we don't know anything about. So this might as well be a gauge this, expert I could,
yeah,
episode.
Exactly.
We're just going to dive into gauges today. How to get into gauges.
How we got out. Our survival story.
All right. Before we get into gauges, wherever you're listening, please follow or subscribe. I am very excited because we've seen a spike in follows.
Threats, they work.
However, I can also see with that spike of follows that there is a spike of listeners who are still not following.
I was like, where's this going?
And I'm pissed about it.
I'm happy that they're there, but I'm going to circle back and I'm fucking furious.
I'm fucking just so angry. So wherever you are listening, dear God, follow, subscribe, rate us 5 stars. If you're on Spotify, you no longer have an excuse. You have to rate us 5 stars. You can there too.
The new listeners don't know that we will come for your families.
We will. Yeah. And you know what? Those who have rated us 5 stars and 5 stars
your
only.
Your families are safe.
For now, until there's another way to support us. And then they're back up as collateral damage, honestly.
The targets are back on. We already had all their addresses from the first round. So
we've already got the Excel doc ready.
It's pretty easy to circle back, honestly.
So please, kindly. Follow, subscribe, rate us 5 stars.
The kindness in our hearts.
Yeah, exactly. And follow us on Instagram at Sean.Lusk, at Brianne Williamson. Oh, we're going to get into this. This just reminded me of fucking Instagram.
No.
At I Can Explain Podcast on Instagram and on TikTok. Now, before we get into anything else.
I just need to leave this podcast already.
If y'all thought Sean and I fought during last week's episode, I stayed here for probably 2 hours post-recording.
And Lauren had to pull us apart as we WWE wrestled.
I was so angry, so furious. And I cannot wait to fill the listeners in. Because if you thought what you heard on last week's episode was bad, because you did, because I'm right and Sean's wrong. So you obviously agree with me. Just wait till you hear what happened when the cameras went off. And speaking of cameras, if you do want to watch us on video,
you want to catch the next fight in person, we will be streaming at pay-per-view.
Well, especially when we're fighting, I feel like our facials really add to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, because you always go,
yeah.
So you can get the victim at it.
You can go to the link in our bio at I Can Explain Podcast, become a patron. Videos go up every week for patrons only. Thank you so much to all of our patrons that support this podcast. You also get to talk on our Discord about how I'm right, how much you like Crocs, how much you like Taylor Swift, how Taylor Swift is gay.
There's been a lot of Taylor Swift discourse, but there hasn't been a lot of pro Croc. There's been a lot of meh to the Crocs, and there has been a lot of Sean is right. So
there's been zero of Sean is right.
I've heard quite a few people say that they don't understand Crocs. Also, I was going to say, and it was one of my Croc points, and I'm going to bring it back up.
Oh,
I gave you the benefit of the doubt that part of your Croc wearing was for the comfort. But what I didn't...
Sorry, this is just a delicious...
Oh, why did you look at the mic after?
I don't know. I was just making sure it was on. I don't know.
What I forgot to mention is that I don't even find Crocs comfortable.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No, I don't like them.
So you have a flawed argument from the start.
With the weird little baubles in the bottom.
So then you know it's not for comfort if you do, then you would agree.
If it's not for style. Comfort. No, then I can't agree with that point. Anyways, go off about the lesbians.
You are in big trouble, my friend. Should I even call you a friend anymore? I'm not
Probably
sure.
Not.
So you may have heard on last week's fucking episode that Sean disinvited me from a trip. Said trip is to visit LA lesbians that he thinks I am not cool enough for to be around in my Crocs. He's embarrassed of me. I'm hidden away up here in Canada. We've established that.
Yeah. Most of that was projecting, but I don't disagree with it.
We also have established that Sean does not tell me I'm hot enough on mm-hmm. Instagram. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, after the podcast ended, I gave Sean another chance for a communicative conversation to sort out our differences and get to the bottom of why he wasn't supporting me on Instagram.
Yeah.
As a friend.
Yeah.
Because the least you can expect from your friends, probably.
Yeah.
When you post a picture that you feel really good and confident about yourself in, you know, a little emoji, a little looking good.
Yeah.
Nice pic. Mm-hmm. Little engagement. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. As I do for every single one of Sean's posts, I make sure that he knows that I am there to support and love and validate
right.
him.
Right. Yeah.
So I said, Sean, you've got the floor, okay? Let's discuss this because we need to get to the bottom of this. I want to squash it. I want to move past it.
Right.
Sean,
you're always about moving past. You're just,
that's my thing.
That's your thing.
I'm so good at letting things go.
A peacekeeper.
I'm so good. It just rolls right off my back, you know?
Water off a duck's back.
Yeah, seriously. You know, me and freedom, for example.
Yeah.
Are working on
just light souls.
It's just light. I do disdain them, but we're working on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I was trying to do the same with Sean. Mm-hmm. I was trying to work through it. Mm-hmm. I said to Sean, you know, you've got the floor. And he said, here's the thing. I don't comment on anyone's Instagrams.
Yeah.
I am just not a commenter. Okay. Thank God I would have fallen for these lies, for this manipulation. Had Lauren, Sean's roommate, not walked into the room, perked up her ears and said, hold on. Yes, you do. Yes, you actually fucking do. Mm-hmm. You comment on all of the LA girls' Instagrams. Now, if you listened to last week's episode, you could only imagine that these were two separate issues. The cancellation of the LA trip and the not liking my Instagram
post.
And
then they came together.
I did not think that they correlated they were so intertwined.
Simpatico, yeah.
Turns out the same people that Sean is not inviting me to hang out with because he's embarrassed of me, he is
projecting once again. Never said that.
He is,
Your Honor, strike that from the record.
On Instagram. Yeah. Now, I, being an amazing friend, did not believe Lauren's slander at first. I said, Lauren, listen, when Sean tells me something, I believe him. And if he's telling me that he is not a commenter, then I'm going to listen. I'm going to believe what he has to say.
Yeah.
So I said, you know what? Unless there's receipts, I'm not going to get angry.
Really? And she's like, well, the internet's forever. So
and she said,
go.
Well, why don't you take a peek? So I said, I don't want to do this. I don't want to be the one to do this. It wasn't my idea. I said, you know what? If you insist.
The lies.
I pull up the Instagram pages of some of these LA lesbians.
It was one.
One of these
LA strike that from the record again.
I go every
not everyone. I went back just because I was like
has not only a little emoticon, a little fire emoji or something. I might have again peacekeeper let that roll off my back.
Right. I actually don't think I've inside ever just commented emoticon.
Jokes,
scratch that too.
Inside jokes are flowing in the comments. Amazing compliments that I couldn't have even thought to put together.
I know the one that really got to, too. I know it.
Go ahead, say it.
That one made me laugh. When you repeated that, I was like, that's fucking funny. It just said, wow, queen of linen, because they were
queen
wearing
queen of fucking linen?
I've never seen you in linen. It's uncontested currently.
Me?
The throne is open.
Me consistently posting photos.
I thought you were going to say wearing linen. I was like, Your Honor, strike that.
I have never received queen of anything.
Yeah.
And you are so desperate to make sure that they feel validated and wonderful when they post that you write a comment like queen of fucking linen.
At the time, she was the queen of linen. Okay, so here's the thing. I...
No, no, it's not over. And you will not carry on until I finish. This conversation ended with me storming out of this apartment.
Well, it wasn't really a storm because you were wearing Crocs. So it was like a bouncy shuffle.
Waddling angrily out of this apartment. After I said to Sean, you don't comment on photos. And he said, hold on, no, no, no. I just don't comment on lesbians' photos. And I said, excuse me, what? And he goes, well, I guess these lesbians, pointing to me and Lauren.
I think it was something not like that.
No, that's exactly what I want.
I think it was the opposite of that. I don't comment on anyone's photo except those lesbians. Anyways.
No, that's not how it went, Sean. The point is that then you had the audacity to go back and start just commenting on my photos.
I only commented on two. The last one, and then the foot roast.
Phony. Listeners, it's like when you get in an argument with your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
And you say to them, you never bring me flowers. And then they show up with flowers the next day. Those flowers mean nothing. I just had to ask you for those flowers. What?
True.
Did you have this happen to you?
No.
Okay. Carry on.
So I will let you know that because you are my best friend.
And you showing it, but okay.
Left my apartment mm-hmm. in such a scattered, Croc-filled hurry.
Yeah.
I sat there and I thought, you know what? Mm-hmm. I think 99% of this is a bit from her, but there's 1% that isn't a bit.
No, you've got that reversed.
And I said, I think that there's some of it that actually hurt Brie. And I actually... shockingly to the listeners, felt bad about it.
I did. This is so exciting. So Sean has a soul, everybody.
I took myself on a transformative journey.
Okay.
The next morning when I was driving to work.
You shouldn't be on your phone at that time.
I wasn't on my phone.
You're commenting. It's
No. I wasn't listening to music and I was just thinking.
I'm not kidding.
So I'm driving. And I was like, okay, there's a compound history here because like I had said, my friend Jet just said that I hadn't liked his photo. And Brie is saying that I don't comment on her photos. Mm-hmm. So I thought, why is this happening for people that I consider dear best friends of mine?
And that's a great question.
And the lesbians that Brie wants to kill and skin and wear are getting comments about, wow, queen of skin suits. And then I think I realize it's just because I think I think this is kind of sad. I feel like it takes us out of this bit argument. Okay. But I feel like you get really comfortable with friendships and with like close friends. Yeah. I don't feel like I'm not like, oh my God, she needs... I feel like we're behind the scenes best friends as well. You know, like we're always texting. Mm-hmm. I feel like I will text you something.
Yes.
As a response or like, wow, like this, you know, I feel like I'm more like, I'll send you a text.
Yeah.
But I feel like with new friends, I am trying to like engage and impress them and be part of, you know, I'm trying to bring the jokes back up, trying to, you know, build these things. And I think that's what is happening. So I will apologize to you that I have let you down.
Okay.
I will not apologize about the Crocs, but that's what I'll give you.
Okay. I accept your apology.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. It's like, have you seen that meme on, it's a long going meme on Twitter. Like there was a recent one on TikTok that was like, someone posted, if you come to my funeral, I'm going to make everyone show a picture of me with you to get in.
Yeah.
And then someone like, duetted it or whatever. And was like, me at my best friend's funeral, trying to find a fucking picture together. to show it. And Sean and I had a situation a few months back where we were in talks with someone about a project, and they were like, oh, can you send any like pictures or videos that you have together for content?
I'm like, I have pictures of Brie from my perspective when we were together.
Yes.
But you but don't not want a those. Single
one, no. Not a single one with each other. Nothing. No, I get it. So it's very true. It is very behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And even like, I think honestly, if I'm being honest, it is a bit, but honest, if I'm being honest, I'm like that with my friends yeah. too. Cause I like, you but get you that are, behind
you
the scenes thing.
You are a hyper.
I am a hyper.
So I have taken it to note that I need to be more of a hyper to my long time friends.
You know what it is?
You've opened up doors for other friendships.
I love that because I feel like also something special is going to happen when people see Sean's comment come in, because when they see mine, it's probably old news now. They're like, oh, Brie the hyper here again, can always count on her. But Sean's, they're going to be like, I must really look hot today.
See there? I've had build up. Now I'm
oh,
ready.
Oh, you're just edging yeah. everybody.
I feel like I comment on your sister's photos consistently more than yours.
Is this a fucking joke?
Well, because she has the baby. I mean. The baby's so fun.
So you have to comment. That's yeah. true. That's fair. That's true.
Like how I wanted that baby's matching outfit. Blake is literally already cooler than I am.
I've had to like stop posting or like refrain from posting too much Blake because I have to remember like this isn't my baby and like the content that people want to see on my account.
Yeah.
Because if like I was following someone and they were always posting their like random family members who it is to someone who has never met me or my sister online,
yeah,
like kid, they'd be like, who's this kid all the time? Like, this isn't part of your life story on the internet. Like, what's going on? I have to remember that because like if it was up to me, in our family chat, we receive like 20 photos a day.
Oh, I know that we're just getting the tip of the iceberg.
And there'll be times, because we're so embarrassingly obsessed, where Brooke will have like not sent a photo in like 7 hours. And I'll be like, so is there a photo coming today? Or like, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
So if it's up to me, that would be like my entire story from now. Yeah, what's going on? Oh my God, guys. Very quickly.
I feel like also this has been a great segue into
this
the
is.
Gauges
oh
of life.
Oh my God, it is. It's a beautiful segue. Okay, so... yeah, basically, for those of you who don't know already, my sister, who is a wonderful, beautiful person, is straight, married to a man. They've been married for a couple years now. I think three, honestly. I think it's been pretty long. Four? I don't fucking know. Are we supposed to keep track of other people's fucking marriages
at
this
point?
Maybe
your sister,
probably. I don't know. Fuck. I don't know people's like birthdays, ages. I do know my sisters.
Good catch.
See, that's where I'm bad. That's right. Where I'm bad. My friends all the time clock me. They're like, I don't know your fucking birthday. I can't tell you your birthday right now.
I couldn't tell you your birthday clue. Either.
I'm
I
bad
know
with
month
that.
It's in.
And there's some people that care about that, right?
Can I guess?
Yeah.
I know it's in November. Okay. 21st.
Close. November 23rd.
Oh, see, it was close.
Very close. But that's the thing, is like, to other people, like, for example, like, my love language of showing my friends love is like hyping them up. Like, if they start like a small biz or a new job, or like if they post an Instagram pic, I feel like I'm a hyper,
yeah.
Right? But like, I can't fucking tell you what your work title is or what your fucking birthday is. Like, stat stuff. Like, I don't fucking know with the name of your degree that you got. I don't know. I've talked you through all the things you did to get yeah. that degree. I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, I'm bad with that
to
stuff.
To be fair,
so
half the people don't know what they got their own degree.
That's
in, so
true. So, like, I feel like some of my friends probably, in the same way that I'm like, why is Sean not coming on my pics, would be like, why the fuck doesn't Brie know my birthday?
Yeah.
So I feel like there's different things that people, like, weight as, like, shows of love mm-hmm. and what's important. But I just like people to publicly tell me I'm hot.
Yeah, mine is like people that look really good in linen, usually.
Also, there's birds squawking at you. They're booing you from the street. Ban all linen! Okay. It's fucking like September now or something, so almost linen needs to go.
Yeah.
So you better fucking tell your gals down
there. The next
comment
will be like, queen of wearing linen at the wrong time of year, you psycho.
At the wrong time of year.
No white after Labor Day.
Oh my fucking God. Okay, so we're gonna get into it, but first I'm just gonna restart this little video here.
Yeah.
Bing. Okay, so yeah, so for those of you who don't know, my sister and her husband.
Everybody knows.
Oh, they know?
That they had a baby.
They figured it out. Yeah. Surprise! She's had a baby. I've only been posting about it for the last 9 months. Her baby's name is Blake, and it's doing the thing. I'm scared. Okay, we're protective. Hold these. Oh, God, so stressful. Being producers of a podcast.
So hard.
Anyways, her baby's cute as hell, adorable, wonderful, amazing. Here's the thing.
I was like, is there a punchline in there?
There is. I feel like as queer people, which is why Sean and I wanted to talk about this, that if you grow up with siblings that are not queer or best friends that are not queer or whatever, that are following a more heteronormative trajectory. And I would argue my sister probably has the most clean cut heteronormative trajectory I've ever seen, in the sense that, like, she went to school, she dated, and then, you know, she met the guy. They got engaged. The
first guy that she met on a dating app or something.
The first date she ever went in on a dating app. Yeah. She meets the guy. They get engaged like a year later. They get married. It's literally
every timeline.
It's like check. They get married, are together for however many fucking years. I don't know. Clearly, we found that out. They, you know, have the baby, they've bought the house, they bought the dog. So it's like marriage, dog, house, baby, like check. And it's like literally everything's but the white picket fence.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's going in next week. Though,
yeah. There's just a little bit of a delay.
It's, you know, a labor shortage.
Everything's delayed. Inflation. It's an inflation issue. So all those things are, like, obviously so wonderful for them and her. But it is, I think, as a queer person, a weird, like, reflection or mirror, if you will, of the different path that you've taken in life.
Yeah.
Because I think there was a time in my life before I came out and, you know, when I was really young, that, like, I would have probably assumed that my trajectory would have been somewhat the same. And yeah. I know you cannot plan that.
I had like a few years to figure out gay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, toss a few of those in. And yeah, whether it was with a man at the time, because like I thought I would end up with a guy, I thought it would be easier. I've talked about that before on the podcast. Or even if it was with a woman, I still assumed kind of that like it would follow the same pattern. And I think that for some people it does in the queer community, but I think we've talked about before as well that as soon as you start unpacking certain portions of life, it's like everything kind of opens up in the way that it's like, oh, wait a second. Well, if I don't have to date a man and I can date a woman, then, like, do I also have to be married by 25?
Do I even want kids?
Do I want, yeah,
have them easily?
Yeah, like, if I'm going to have to pay for kids and I'm going to have to, like...
You technically have to pay for all kids, though, Brie.
I know. It's a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
But, like, if I'm going to have to go through all these medical treatments and I'm going to have to do that, like, you really, like, thoroughly ask yourself every step of the way, like, is this something that I want?
Yeah.
And I also think it makes it easier to examine that when you're around your chosen family that has, like, unpacked that in different ways or is on completely different timelines or has decided that they don't want it at all. The pressure stops.
Yeah.
So everything just becomes a choice for yourself. And I'm not saying in any way that what my sister did is because of pressure or anything like that. I think they're so happy and wonderful, and that's exactly what she wanted. But I am saying I think I would have done those things in that timeline simply out of pressure, simply knowing what I know now about myself.
Yeah.
So speaking for myself, it's like a weird mirror to look into of like, wow, I thought I wanted that at some point. And it's not necessarily that I don't want that. It's just maybe in a different order or in a different time frame. Or there's things now that have become more of a priority for me to check off my life's bucket list first.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. It's
Well, you did tell the story on your other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Your bigger other podcast. But I think the birth of said child was literally such...
hilarious.
And also just an eye-opening experience of the differences of your two stories.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Emiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
So literally, my sister was supposed to have a C-section on August 10th, and due to high risk complications regarding her pregnancy. And she ended up going into labor during Pride weekend. And when she went into labor, like, I'm already like drunk at Pride. Like, Pride weekend for me is like, you might as well just book off a fucking vacation, because yeah. I am just like, I'm in Vancouver, but I'm really not. Like, I'm not working. It's partying for 4 days. It's like, go, 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 event after event.
Your Pride is like no other Pride I've ever seen.
It's wild. And so anyways, we're at these events and my sister's gone into labor and I'm like, oh my God, like, are we going to go to the other events? And she's like, no, no, like, it's going to be like probably like 4 a.m. or something's going to happen. We'll see you tomorrow morning. And regardless, we couldn't be there for the actual birth anyways. So we were like, okay, COVID. All good. Yeah, because of COVID. Yeah. So, and at the time, she still was expecting to have a C-section. Yeah. So at that point, especially in the like surgery room, you can only have one person. So obviously that was going to be her husband, Jay. So anyways, we go to this event at night, and it's, you know, me, Sean, and Julia. I think we might have been the only last one standing at
that
point.
It was literally us three, yeah.
Yeah. And so we go, and there's this drag show on, and I told this story over when we're having gay sex, and it's
freaky.
It's one of those things that it's like, it's so freaky to me, because I think people maybe like think I was like doing it up or something, but like making it, like exaggerating it.
Yeah.
But like, Sean can vouch for me that I've probably seen 1,000 drag numbers in my life. Like, I go to drag shows all the time.
That's like a pretty
reasonable assessment.
Totally.
Because like, if I went, especially on a regular night, you might see like 5 numbers. There's nights we've gone where there's like fucking 20 numbers.
Yeah, literally.
Like, I've seen a lot of drag is what I'm saying. And by no means does that make me an expert, but it means that I'm like a regular consumer of it. And I've never seen anyone birth anything on stage.
Not once.
Or be a baby on stage.
Both knows.
None of those things have happened. So we go to this performance, and local Vancouver drag performer Rose Butch, who many of you found on Instagram after they were having gay sex, they came on the stage. They're a non-binary drag performer. And I was like, oh my God, yay, Rose Butch is on, because they always do a good job.
So good.
They're amazing. And Rose Butch proceeds to birth a balloon, which then pops as like a gender reveal style, but it's like the trans color confetti, and then they transform, which is this part I missed on We're Having Gay Sex. They transform into
the
baby themselves. So then they are on
the birther
stage.
Becomes the baby.
Exactly, wearing like bloomers and like a baby cap and like this whole thing. So I'm watching this and I'm already thinking this is so wild, because I'm like, holy fuck, like, what are the odds that the day that, like, my mind is filled with this whole, like, my sister's in labor stuff, Rose is birthing and then becoming said baby on stage.
It was wild, yeah.
But then we look down at the phone where we're supposed to be getting updates of, like, how the labor is progressing, and my dad has messaged and said, Brooke had the baby. And this is like 2 minutes after Rose has exited the stage. I was literally, so immediately I start, like, I'm like, we gotta get out of here. Like, I don't know where I was running to, but I was like drunk.
It was a lot. It was a fever dream.
We were lost and confused in the midst of this warehouse party. And, and I was like, am I tripping out? Am I dreaming? Like, at this point, I'm just confused as fuck. And so we go outside, and sure enough, basically during the performance that Rose Butch did, that when they became a baby.
That was queer witchcraft, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
My sister had her baby. And I was like, if this isn't the weirdest mirror of where she is in life and where I am, that Brooke's baby is Blake and my baby is Rose.
Oh, you're directly translating it. Hey?
Rose is the baby in my life.
I just love how, like, Brooke is seeing her own baby.
Yeah.
Out of love with her husband, all this, and you're wasted,
like, one eye at a warehouse party
watching a drag show. It's just so beautifully
poetic.
It's so poetic. And then we leave. Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for an Uber because you literally ran so fast down the street that
crying.
I lost you.
Do
you remember
excited.
That?
Yes. Yeah.
And I texted you, where are you?
I was crying on the phone to my dad because you also have to understand, and I didn't also show this when we're having gay sex because I hadn't, honestly, when we recorded that, it was right after Pride, and I hadn't talked to my sister yet about her experience with the birth and everything, so I didn't want to share too much about, like, her experience. But everything went great, but you have to understand, I thought Brooke needed a C-section due to high-risk things that the doctors had told Brooke, that basically she was not going to be able to survive pushing a baby out. So it was a combo of, like, I just saw a quick text and I'm drunk and it's late at night. Like, oh my God, okay, she had the baby, but, like, is she good? Okay? Is the baby good? Like, I have no idea what happened. She wasn't supposed to have a C-section till, like, 4 to 6 a.m. this morning. And, like, it's 1 a.m. and the baby's here. Like, what the fuck is going on? Like, so I was just, it was just so many emotions at once. Drawn on by Rose's incredible performance. I got to watch the birth live, basically. Honestly.
You were in the fucking operating room.
Yeah.
So then, you are down the street. I literally have no idea where you are. I call an Uber because I'm like, I'm pretty sure, I thought you had already just got into an Uber or, like, stolen a vehicle at this point or, like, we're on a bus or, like, underground. Yeah. Like, I had no idea where you were. So I'm waiting for an Uber. Then I literally hear, like, and you and Julia start coming back and you're just bawling. You show me a photo of the baby and you did the classic thing that everybody is like, look how perfect she is. And I'm like, great baby, especially now giving slay. Babies, when they're fresh, are literally like piles of mucus.
Are literally,
and you're like, look at this baby. It's literally like a pile of mucus. And I remember her little hand was in a claw formation. And I was like, nice.
And, like, I was like, look how perfect Blake is.
And I'm so drunk too. And I'm like, okay.
You're like, okay, sure, whatever.
And then I just went home and that was that.
That was that.
It was a wild ride.
It was a wild ride. And yeah, I think it was funny in a way. I'm like, here I am, like, still at a gay bar, which is where I want to be right now.
When, like, you're giving your actual birth, I'm sure, as well.
live on stage.
Maybe
I'll
Rose
sell tickets for
can
it.
Be your, like, doula.
Fucking cat.
No?
Oh, this
that would be full circle.
This cannot continue. This cannot continue. People actually slid into Rose's DMs after I talked about it and we're having gay sex. And turns out, give or take a few minutes, Blake and Rose were born approximately about 7 minutes apart.
Wow.
So that's pretty crazy.
It's the circle of life.
It is. It's a beautiful thing. But yeah, so we were laughing about that and just thinking about how it's interesting how different, like, my path is and Brooke's path is, both in like really awesome, beautiful ways.
Yeah.
But I think for queer people, another thing I wanted to touch on when we were talking about, you know, life's milestones and like how they differ, like the gauges.
Yeah.
the gauges, I can't. Is that another thing, you know, I've been thinking about a lot with all of my friends and, you know, friends of friends and friends of yours, friends of Julia's, friends of everyone I hear about, is like there's all these like life milestones that as society we've like decided are like what gets celebrated.
Yeah.
What gets a gift, if you will. And I hate to say like a gift as if like that's what I need or want, but like meaning like a physical, like,
I don't feel bad saying that. I need or want and gifts, all of it.
All of it. Yeah. Like a physical moment of celebration, whether it's like, oh, I'm going to throw you a party for this, or I'm going to like give you a gift. And like, there's all these things that as society we've decided are like those moments, right? When you like get engaged, when you have a baby, there's a baby shower. And when you have buy a house, there's a housewarming. And
when you have a wedding, you get 30 to 45 mm-hmm. KitchenAid stand mixers.
Exactly. Your dream.
That's all I
honestly.
Want.
Honestly. And for queer people that
we need more gifts.
We do.
Yeah.
We fucking need more stand mixers. Well, I just think that there's like for people, queer people and not queer people, just people in general that have chosen a different life path.
Yeah.
Sometimes it makes me sad that for those people, and I wouldn't even say for myself, honestly, because I feel like I'm lucky enough to have like friends and family around me that are like very encouraging and supportive of like my choices and my goals, without pushing me towards any ones that I've decided to put on the back burner for a while, if you will. But I think for other people, I definitely see them not getting those nods from their parents or not getting those nods from family members or not getting those like celebratory moments for doing things that are not in that traditional timeline.
Yeah. I would say I had a very like real, understanding mm-hmm. of exactly that recently. Mm-hmm. When my sister, who I love and adore, has been in a relationship for like 8 years and are like, they're like gonna get engaged. Like, it's like one of those long hauls. Like mm-hmm. they're just, you know, there's like, they're each other's people.
Yeah.
That's one side of my family from my parents' perspective. And then my side is like, I'm like pushing 30 now. And I think I've literally had like 9 boyfriends. And it's like, so funny to me because I think part of that is like, just with time and the internet, I think standards have like changed mm-hmm. a lot. Like, I think younger people are stricter about who they're dating and all this stuff. I think that's part of it. But I also think queer people mm-hmm. naturally also like just date around more.
Yeah.
Like, because we didn't have that, like we said, with the, you know,
delayed gay adolescence.
Mm-hmm. We didn't have the like just trying to figure that out in high school. Yeah. So now we're doing that into our like 30s and probably 40s for mm-hmm. me. But it's just funny to look at that because I'm like, on one side, they're like not even thinking about who my sister is probably going to get engaged to.
Yeah.
And to me, they're like, what nightmare is Sean going to bring to the next fucking Thanksgiving dinner? You know?
Surprises around every corner.
Surprises. And then I was thinking about it even more. And I was like, it's so weird. Like you said that there's all these milestones in life, mm-hmm. right? But a huge thing is that it seems like the milestones in life that are celebrated the most have to do with somebody and their partner.
Yeah, that's so true.
And it's even different with like,
that's a good way to put it.
I bought an apartment.
Yeah.
But I have been here for like 5 years mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, I, you know, eventually want to live by myself. So I've been like thinking about eventually buying mm-hmm. like my own place so that I don't have a roommate. Lauren, bless up. Love you. but get the fuck out. and I was like, the difference of me, you know, buying a mm-hmm. place, whereas if my sister or somebody that I know that's in a relationship bought a place with a partner, it's like a way bigger thing. Like, oh my God, you guys bought a place together.
That's so true, because it seems like a life, like
literally
together milestone, like you're building your life together. Totally.
Whereas it's,
I've
like,
never thought of it that way. That's so true though.
Where it's so wild because it's like as a single person, no, I'm not saying I need to be like rewarded for it, but like buying something as a single person or doing anything it's as a single person is even, you said it, is even more slay.
Way more slay.
I hit the slay button.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, they're not celebrated. And even like things like getting a promotion or something, everything when you're with a partner is like tenfold because they tell all their friends. It's like a whole thing.
You're
whereas
right.
like all the accomplishments that you get as a single
and
person.
And it's like, you're making moves for us and our relationship.
It's like every single milestone that you have with a partner is just way bigger, which is like so fucked up.
Totally.
I'm not like sad about it. Like, I do want gifts for all of those in conversation backwards.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You can just write a list. Yeah, for the last, like, 5 years.
First apartment, I guess. So like, you guys owe me.
No, it's true. And it's also like, I don't know how to put it. It's like, not that it doesn't matter when it's one person.
Drag me.
But people, no, but people's perception is very much less when it's not like,
totally.
You're building this together for your like, blah,
it's
blah.
It's like, oh, you bought an apartment and you're going to live there alone long time?
I even experienced that like with being in a long-term relationship and just having experienced people say like, it always seems like it comes with like a little asterisk.
Yeah.
Like it's like, oh, that's great, but you're not married yet?
Literally.
Oh, that's great, but like you haven't thought about getting engaged? Why? Oh, like that. It's always has like a but to it. And it's like, oh, until you get that figured out and it's like you've confirmed it, then like
the rest doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter almost.
Or it's like less impressive.
Yeah. There's something about it that's like people expect these like ceremonial moments. Otherwise, they're not like credited as much. And again, I don't think either you and I are sitting here like looking for that like pat on the back, but it is something interesting to think about. And it's also fucking hilarious, honestly. Like, my parents are very open people, and I and speaking to the fact that they're supportive, when I had my show during Pride that many of you came to, thank you for coming. And at the beginning I was doing a bit and just talking about like just fucking girls in porta potties and stuff like that. My parents are in the audience, right? Like, so they're very they know me. They're very supportive. Like, nothing. I don't feel like I could shock them anymore.
Yeah.
But then I ended.
Damn,
that,
will you try?
Yeah. But I ended this whole bit of me like talking about all this like debauchery and being a lesbian during Pride and like etc. by literally saying, "Oh, and by the way, my parents are in the audience, and my sister's giving them a grandchild, and I've gave them tickets to watching." Me say all of this.
Yeah.
Like, that's the contrast literally. Right now.
I also, this was a TikTok that I saw, but I told you this, I think, as well prior to the TikTok, but now I'm like, I'm just saying that it's TikTok because it might sound like I'm stealing this person's punchline, but it was funny because I related to it because I got the exact same thing.
Yeah.
That I was going, like, this is how I'm comparing it. This is like, exciting to my parents as something my sister would do with her partner would be exciting to my parents. I was going to see Lady Gaga in Toronto.
Yeah.
And my dad was asking me if I was going to get my monkeypox vaccine before I went to Gaga, which is like so funny. The layers
that
to that.
Is so funny.
And I was like, oh, I actually got it. And he was like, awesome. Like, he was like so happy, that I got my monkeypox vaccine before I flew to Toronto. Yeah.
Did
to
he give you a stand
Lady
mixer?
Gaga. No, I do think I will be coming for that though. Yeah. But I was like, that was really exciting for him.
Oh yeah. That was a big moment. yeah. for him.
Like, I got gay engaged right then.
No, oh, yeah. He was over the moon.
He was like, wow, that's awesome.
The
yeah,
next person he so talked to fun. That day, he was like, you won't believe Sean. What's new with Sean? Oh, he got his monkeypox vaccine.
Baby.
Hadn't seen Lady Gaga. Yeah. Big things are happening.
And I was like, wow. And then, yeah, somebody posted a TikTok and it was like, my dad asked me if I was getting it before the Chromatica ball. And I was like, I'm glad to know that we're at the place
yeah.
that straight dads are comfortable enough asking their gay sons if they got their monkeypox vaccine.
I love that. Honestly, I love that transition. Yeah. That's amazing.
That's growth. Things that's are, the gay agenda.
That is. Yeah, it's fucking funny. Like, yeah. And even that's the thing. Like, it's funny if you have supportive parents like we do. So we're lucky because, like, my parents applaud all the things. Like, I make jokes about it all the time and it's cute because always after I make the jokes, like in public forums on my Instagram stories or on stage or whatever it may be, or on here, my mom's always like, oh no, we love what you're doing. Like, she almost thinks she has to like reconfirm yeah. it. I'm like, no, I love that. It's just fucking funny that I'm talking about dildos on like two public forums. And like,
my sister's teaching a baby how to read.
Literally. Like, that's the contrast here. Like, there's something funny about that. But, oh, fuck. It's a fucking thing. But,
That's a contrast too. Your sister's buying a house, putting up a white picket fence.
You can't even get a camera to work.
20 minutes.
Seriously, fuck me. The one thing I am supposed to be doing. But for people that don't have that, it actually really sucks.
Yeah.
So like, if you're out there and you're listening and you haven't gotten a pat on the back lately for like working hard at your job or like decorating your place cool or, you know, celebrating whatever month, year with your partner that you're not engaged to or not married to or don't have to plan have kids with. Like, just know that those moments are still like really exciting, even yeah. if your family or friends aren't validating that for you.
Or if you're a single person, like I feel like mm-hmm. little milestones, like day-to-day milestones
yeah.
are so much more celebrated when you have a partner because you tell your partner.
That's true.
Like they'll buy you flowers mm-hmm. or make you dinner or something. So just from one single person that doesn't get gifts and celebrations yeah. enough to another, those are huge milestones still, even the little things, even if you're not hearing it every day.
That's true. Cause I feel like when you have a partner, you don't feel like embarrassed telling them things that you're proud of yourself about
yeah.
because it doesn't seem like you're bragging because yeah. it's your partner. So you can be like, oh my God, like I've been to the gym 5 times this week. I'm really proud of myself because like I've set that goal for myself.
Yeah.
Whereas like you feel like if you texted a friend that per se, I'm not putting words in your mouth, but that it would be like, oh, okay, that's kind of out of nowhere. Like sure,
I
good
went
for
to the
you.
Gym 5 days a week this week, and you're like, my sister teaching a baby to read.
Yeah, so shut the fuck up. Yeah. No, I have but real yeah, I get that. It's like with your partner, you just kind of like let stuff.
Yeah.
So also be that person for your friends. Brag to your friends and let your friends brag to you.
Full circle.
Hype your friends up.
Even the ones that are there for you the longest,
not the new flashy queens
not
of
linen, not the royalty of linen. Sometimes you have to be friends with people that don't wear linen.
And that is a life lesson.
And that's a life lesson.
Seriously.
Sometimes you got to be friends with the jesters of linen, you know?
Can't always be the queen.
No.
We learned something here today. You know what? Freedom is somewhere listening and they are thinking this was a well-curated episode.
Because, you know, we had points and then we did another point and then we
brought it back.
Circled back
to the first point.
It was almost like this had a script. It was so well crafted.
Flawless. Gorgeous.
Yeah. You're welcome, Frida.
They were taking notes. They were learning so much.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So many questions answered.
So many.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, wherever you are following, listening. No. Wherever you're listening.
You should
watching,
be following.
Yeah. And you should also be following and subscribing and writing thank yous and telling me I'm hot in my Instagram photos.
Yeah, gifts. As if we were getting engaged.
Stand mixers.
Yes.
Like every photo we've ever posted. Send us money.
Just straight up cash to our mailboxes.
Yeah. Envelopes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do like a good stack of cash. Mm. All right. Well, until next time, we will see you around the gay red.
Oh my God. It's so bright.